Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, the Bears lose another one, this time in New Jersey with backup quarterback Trevor Siemian. How are you feeling after another loss?
Expected. It was an expected L for the Bears there. I think it's a strange start to that was kind of made the whole day even weirder. And part of me was like, man, I hope we do get Peterman. I think that would be fun to see Peterman out there. You know, I mean, I was expecting a loss anyway. Let's have this be as epically bad as possible. But it didn't happen. And it was funny because Siemian talked about after the game in his post-game presser that he did tweak his oblique. But he's like, man, I can't. It's embarrassing if I miss a game when I get hurt in warmups. So, he got a shot and, he went out there and he toughed it out. And it was fine. He played like I thought he would. You know, he's a bunch of checkdowns. He got some nice plays from his guys, and that's life with the Bears offense. 10 points without an electric quarterback like Justin Fields.
Yeah, you know, there were a few people out in the Bears world who talking all week about how, well, this is going to show how Justin Fields isn't a good passer because Trevor Siemian knows how to run an offense, and it's going to show just the deficiencies in Justin Fields here, because Trevor Siemian's gonna run this offense well, and he's gonna put up yardage, and he's gonna show you. And even that, like, early where again Darrington Evans just, like, beats CJ Mosley out in space, who, you know, is a slow middle linebacker, and just takes off, and he gets a bunch of yards after a catch. And you know, Montgomery sheds a tackle behind the line of scrimmage, and then he gets a bunch of yardage. Chase Claypool with a nice, down the field 50-50 ball that he grabs, like, some nice plays by offensive playmakers. And all of a sudden some yards started accumulating in the Trevor Siemian stat sheet, which, okay, great. But are you really going to tell me after watching that game that Trevor Siemian is a better passer of the football than Justin Fields? I mean, who are these people and what are they watching and what priors do they really need confirmed when they're so blind to want to back up and cap for Trevor Siemian of all people?
I think it boils down to a few things. And you know, one of it is some people just want to be right. They want to be right that they thought Fields was a bust. They want to be right about it. You know, they want to be right about their takes they've had, their awful takes they've had this whole season. You know, so there were some media members that were ready. And when Trevor Siemian came out and had a few nice plays, they were ready, man. They had that article ready to go. And then, like, it just didn't happen because, look, I don't care if Siemian would have put up 300 yards. If that would have happened, if the Bears only get 10 points at the end of the day, put the ball in the end zone and he couldn't find a way to do that, his scrambling ability is not there. And yeah, you'd like to see Justin Fields win from the pocket more. But I don't give a damn how he wins as long as he learns how to win. And we've talked about it on the show a few times. That's going to come. That's the last thing you do, as you build a team around you. The wins are the last to come. You know, the culture, I think, is pretty good right now. The culture within the Bears, that's there. These players really care for each other. The coaching staff, it's all there. The wins will come eventually. That's going to take time. But the whole Trevor Siemian, again, a good veteran backup. He is who he is, and he showed that in the game. And he can't do much with the supporting cast either. What a shock.
What a shock. And just to kind of cap that, I believe Moose Johnson, who was doing the color in that game, mentioned that during the Cowboys, like early in the Cowboys' career, like, they didn't know how to win. They couldn't win, and they didn't have that figured out. They started to get the young talent around them, but they didn't understand how to win football games, and that eventually happened for them. Now, I'm not Patriots. I'm not claiming that the Bears are going to win three Super Bowls.
There it is.
That's
did
not
it.
What I'm saying.
I'm going to make a headline or clip of that right there.
There you go. Absolutely. But that does happen. At some point, you have to get there. So we'll get into the categories here, but I think that's a good way to start off and put this game into context and confirm some things that I think we knew going in here. But let's start off in the trenches. Trench tribute this week, and of course, every week this year has been sponsored by Portillo's. This week is no different. Get your Portillo's Player of the Week into us, where you get your Baron Balance for a chance at a $100 gift card. And I may add a handwritten thank you note from me personally. Like, I have been writing these all year, and someone finally posted one onto the interwebs, onto the Twitter machine, and showed the great handwritten card that I had been sending out. Didn't write didn't show the actual note, but showed the card that I've been sending. That's probably, honestly, I should have been leading with that. We'll probably get more entries now that people know that you get a handwritten thank you note from me. And it just happens to include a $100 gift card, but get them in where you get it, on the Twitter, on the YouTube, on email to ndcitygridiron@gmail.com. Send it to us, put it on the website, put it on the article, wherever you get it, throw it in there. Lester will put you in the drawing. I do a random number generator and we get it. I am going first this week.
You are.
I did not like a lot of what I saw in the trenches. No. I did not have a very good time with this category. And so I'm going to go with Kari Blasingame. Why am I going with Kari Blasingame? Because fullbacks are basically baby linemen. That's what they are. They're little, short, baby linemen. And if they were bigger, they'd be on the line somewhere. We got to shout out this fullback. He's been playing good football when he's in there. And he got on the stat sheet this week. It was a target. It wasn't caught, but it was a target, so he got on the stat sheet. So that's very exciting for a baby lineman to get on the stat sheet. I like this player. I like it when Blasingame's in the game. He makes good blocks. He seems like a smart football player, and I thought he had a pretty good game this week. But I think he's had a good season. He doesn't get a lot of snaps, but when he's in there, he makes them count. And so this week, because I didn't like a lot of what else I saw throughout the offensive and defensive lines, I'm going to go with Kari Blasingame.
I like that pick. I was wondering which one of us would be the first one to really go off. I mean, I kind of went with Patrick Scales, which is
you opened
off.
The door. You broke.
Opened the door. I figured that would be a good way to go. But like you said, the fullback in this day and age, they're basically linemen because it's rare they get a target. It's rare they get a carry. You know, there just aren't many fullbacks doing that. And I know the tight end is what most people think of. Oh, that's just an extension of the line because you have to have O-line skills and receiving skills, but the fullback is even more so because they rarely touch the ball. So that's a good pick. They're blasting game nice. I like what he's done this year too. I'd like to see him play a little more. I think part of it is just the way the offense is kind of goes. You know, they want to do a lot of three wide stuff, but I think at some point, if the fullback continues to be incorporated in this offense, they'll find ways to get him involved because there's just so much cool stuff going back to the old school West Coast offense. You know, we talked about Moose Johnson earlier. Moose Johnson was a fullback that was active. Tom Rathman with the Niners. I like the way those old West Coast offenses utilize the fullback. And I think that's something that, you know, I would love to see teams do more these days, but they're more used to doing the tight end stuff, the Y, the U, you know, that's what they use as the fullback. But the fact the Bears got one, I think that's good. For me, again, like you, I didn't like a lot of the stuff on the line. But there was one guy that stood out more than the others, and that was the old reliable. We've had him probably as the most trench tributes this year. That's Tevin Jenkins. I was so glad to see him back in the lineup. He is just solidified. I don't know what the deal was, the drama in the offseason. Whatever was going on, I say it every week. I hope it's in the past because this guy is definitely a future. I hope his health issue is good. He had the hip for a couple weeks. Of course, he's had the back in the past. But Tevin Jenkins, man, there was just a few plays I noticed he made. I think it was the Pringle touchdown where he kind of got beat off the snap. He kind of regathered his feet and re-anchored, which is something that a lot of times we'll see guys get beat on that. Once they're beat with that, with the bull rush or something, they're over. But on that play, I'm pretty sure it was a Pringle touchdown. He kind of got beat to the inside. He caught the guy with his arm, re-anchored, and just stopped him. And then, of course, it was a nice pass. A few other ones I kind of noticed where he was nice on the twists. not all of them. You know, he had a couple of sloppy ones. But again, he's still in his first year as a right guard. He's coming along. I think I saw the Pro Football Focus grades too. I think he was the Bears' top lineman in run and pass blocking. Just an overall nice game from Jenkins. And I'm just so glad he is back, because let's keep him healthy all the rest of the year, because he's one of the few bright spots. If Fields is going to miss any more time, he's one of the few bright spots there is to watch on that Chicago offense.
Yeah, that was obviously the other pick that made some sense, because there you do get the flashes, you do get the spikes in play. And there's a couple plays when I was reviewing, it was like, oh yeah, it's Jenkins. Like, oh,
he's just downfield, right?
You just take him to the ground, you know, just, you know, so any play is live for Tevin Jenkins to put a guy on the ground. And that's kind of fun as an offensive line play. So absolutely, that makes a lot of sense there. And good to see him back. And like you say, that's what we're looking for. Who are the guys that are going to be around in a couple of years? Who are the guys that are building blocks for the future of the Bears when they are going to be competing? And I think you have to say that Tevin Jenkins is going to be one of those guys. Hopefully he is bought in and believes that he can be one of the better guards in the league, because I think he's got the tools to do so. So hopefully that continues to stick. Let's move on to our tweet of the week. I'm highlighting our friend Sam Householder. He is at Sam Householder. He says Darnell Mooney's consecutive games with a catch streak ends at 44. It spanned every game he's played in and was the 16th longest streak in Bears history. So I wanted to bring this up because, one, it looks like Darnell Mooney's probably out for the rest of the year. He was largely invisible through this game until he got injured anyway. Probably didn't have much of a rapport with Trevor Siemian. This is, you know, certainly one that he's built up with Justin Fields. So if and when Justin Fields does return this year, he will not have the services of Darnell Mooney, more than likely. I don't think we have any confirmation on that, but it looks like he's probably out for the year. I just kind of wanted to bring him up and ask you a question. Well, first of all, that 16th longest streak in Bears history. Did you see this tweet, and do you know the top three?
I saw the tweet. I retweeted it, but I did not check what his list was. I was working today most of the day. I didn't have time to kind of dive into it, but...
You want to guess?
I knew you were going to put me on the spot here. I go with... is Mike Ditka up there?
Mike Ditka's number one. Nice. He is 81-game streak. So excellent on that. 81-game streak for Mike Ditka.
And then I'm guessing it might be someone a little more obscure. Maybe...
These are not obscure names in Bears history, if you know your Bears history pass catchers.
Well, then we're going to go Harlan Hill on this.
Harlan Hill is number three. He has a 61-game catch streak.
And then we got to go Johnny Morris.
Johnny Morris, number two. See, you did it. You did it. Excellent. Good job there. So I want to talk about this in terms of Darnell Mooney's future. There's a couple people speculating that this might impact what Darnell Mooney could get from the Bears in a contract, or maybe this could hurt whether or not he returns to the Bears. My personal opinion is that I don't think it's going to hurt him much, particularly if this is an injury where he can make a full recovery from. I think he has established himself as someone that the Bears want going forward. I don't know what his market is. I know that he wanted to have a giant year. Of course he did.
Yeah.
The Bears did too. That did not materialize, but I still believe that there is enough of a friendship and a rapport with Justin Fields and where he fits in this offense that he is high on the priority list to come back. But what did you think when you heard that?
Yeah, I kind of think it makes sense. I mean, it's unfortunate that an injury has to kind of affect the cap ramifications, but you know, that's the NFL. It's a business at the end of the day. So I think that's part of it. I also don't think that the Bears ever intended on paying him true wide receiver one money. I always think they kind of, he was this year as their number one because, you know, they had no one else. But I think they kind of always envisioned him more as a slot guy, maybe even the number two option there. He just doesn't have that. It's hard to say this without knocking him. You know, I think he's a very good receiver. I just don't think he falls in that AJ Brown category, that elite category where he's like a true number one, where you're going to get top dollar. But I think it's going to get big money because, you know, teams need at least three receivers these days. They all get paid. So if you're going to pay someone, I think now's the time to pay Mooney, you know, once his deal's coming up here, because the way the roster's structured, it makes sense. And unless you go out and make a big splash in free agency at receiver, which It could happen. You know, I'm not sure they're going to spend that much money there, just because we kind of see what they have here. I think the trenches are something they got to address. That's free agency. They may go in the draft with the guy, let him kind of develop. I think you got to bring Mooney back. You know, I think the 15, 17 million annual has kind of been thrown around out there. I think that's reasonable. I mean, it sounds funny to say that's a reasonable price, but you know, one of your top targets, I think that makes sense. And I like Mooney. I think you hit it on a nail on the head though, with the rapport he has with Justin Fields, that's going to go a long way. I mean, the Bears apparently believe in Fields. He's shown he's the guy. If he's the guy, keep the guy happy. And if Mooney's the guy that you deem worthy of this offense, a big part of this offense, bring him back, make it happen.
And you see all these other quarterbacks where teams have gone out and drafted their like college teammates to pair up with them, right? Like that happened three times in the draft that Justin Fields was taken in, where a team took a college teammate of their quarterback to throw the football to. You know, you've got even examples like Aaron Rodgers, you know, getting the Packers to re-sign Randall Cobb, right? Like, you know, or Tom Brady and, you know, bringing his entourage around, right? Like, you know, you do this, you know, the guys that you have a good relationship with, it really helps. What about you this week?
My tweet of the week is from Rich Harbar, and I'm probably butchering his name, but that's just par for the course of me. He is from Sharp Football. He is at Lord Reeves, and his tweet was the Bears defense last 5 weeks. Now, we know they've been awful. The last 5 weeks, of course, is post Roquan trade, post Robert Quinn trade, but he runs down a list, and the Bears are either dead last or second to last in all these categories. They allowed 3.2 points allowed per drive, dead last. Touchdown allowed, nearly 40% of all drives the Bears have allowed the last 5 weeks, dead last. 41 yards allowed per drive, second to last. 6.7 yards allowed per play, dead last. 3% sack rate, which a lot of that's Justin Fields, but that's this offense and the line, dead last. 72.7% completion rate, second to last. 9.4 yards per pass attempt, dead last. This defense can get no pressure. We just saw with the first sack from a Bears D lineman, Armin Watts, since week six. Front seven is not the best. Back end with the injuries now, oh my God, it's even worse. This defense is historically bad right now for the Bears.
Yeah, like you mentioned, and I think you know, you're talking about defense, so that sack rate being a super low number, I mean, that's just, there's no pressure, and that leads actually to my stat of the week.
Yeah. What the hell was that?
Perfect. Just
I have the sack watch on the mind. I have like sack watch, honestly. Yeah, that 3%, good point. That's the Bears sacks that they're getting after the quarterback, not the
other. So obviously that's a very low number. So there's just no pressure on the quarterback. So the quarterback sitting back and having a very clean pocket, and that leads to some very easy throws, and it leads to a high completion percentage. It leads to a lot of touchdowns and not a lot of interceptions, which leads to my number.
There it is.
Which is 124.7, and that is the opposer passer rating in the last five football games. That is a very big number. That is a big passer rating. And one of those five games, the quarterback was Marcus Mariota, who is not that good at quarterbacking. And so you would think that would maybe pull it down a little bit. Each quarterback that they have faced has finished that individual game with a passer rating of 100 or more. But overall, those numbers all calculate out to 124.7, 10 touchdowns, one interception. That's it in the last five games. Very efficient quarterbacking from each of those opponents. They are picking apart and having their way with this Bears defense.
That's nauseating. That's pretty bad. I mean, like you said, it's their comfort level. You know, if you're able to sit back there, you know the pressure's not coming. And the Bears have tried to blitz. You know, they're just not, you know, they haven't really been able to get home. They're just not, you know, there's some talent there, but it's not the kind of talent that you're really going to expect to get home on blitzes. Jaquan Brisker, I think, leads the team in sacks from a safety spot, which is coming off the edge. It's just horrible. You know, there's not a lot of pressure here. You know, this kind of really shows what they're going to do in the offseason, because you got to have, I mean, no one expected defense to be a top priority going into next season. Everyone thought it'd be build up the offense. But when the defense is historically bad, you got to put some assets there, and it's going to be draft picks. It's going to be free agency, and it's going to be something. It's going to be a big move by Ryan Poles in the offseason.
Absolutely. What about you? What'd you come up with?
And that leads me into my number. My number this week is 22. And that is the number of unrestricted free agents the Bears are currently set to have going into the next offseason. And I'm telling you, these guys on this list, not one of these guys would I be really broken up if the Bears let go. Probably the big name there, obviously, is David Montgomery. I like to see Montgomery back. I think he's a good football player. Again, it's going to come down to the money. Is he going to want 9, 10, 11 million a year? Is it closer to 7 or 8? You know, where's that number going to fall? Does he want to stay in Chicago? Who knows? But the rest of this list, you know, Nick Morrow, you know, Matt Adams, you know.
Who?
Dakota Dozier is a free agent next year. You know, our guy, Kerry Blasingame, I'd like to see him come back. But if he's not back, I'm not heartbroken.
I'm sure that's a Vetmin type contract for that kind of guy. But yeah.
Vetmins, you know, Byron Pringle's a free agent, Riley Reiff, Angelo Blackson, although Blackson does have some void years on his contract, thanks to Ryan Pace. So he'll still be here on the cap, whether he's here or not. You know, DeAndre Houston Carson, I like him. I think he's a good football player, but if they don't re-sign him, it's not the end of the world. 22 players, and literally not one, I'd be like, oh, my God, he's a must-sign. They have to bring him back for the future of this franchise. Not one of them. So that just tells you another big revolving, you know, offseason for Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're not probably giving too much away here, but at some point, and it'll probably be the bye week, we're going to have a little bit of a meeting internally and say, might be time for us to continue to follow the rest of the season. We played out the string the last four games, but you know, we need to start putting an eye towards, you know, team evaluation, free agency, and the draft, right? So we've got some ideas for some off-season projects, so make sure you're staying tuned with us throughout the off-season because we've got some fun stuff lined up for you there. Free agency is what starts it. I've got some ideas on how to kind of try to put this into perspective so that we're prepped for free agency when that happens. But that's a good place for us to start. At this point in the program, we have gone and done what we have called the Fields Report, which is going through the stats and talk about the specific play of Justin Fields. Obviously, he did not play in this football game. If you didn't know that, you were surprised when you heard talk about where they're going to start Trevor Siemian or where they're going to start Nathan Peterman before the game. And, you know, they end up starting Trevor Siemian with the bad oblique. Toughed it out. Could, you know, there was another quarterback that played yesterday that could not tough it out throughout an oblique injury, but Trevor Siemian, he sure was able to. But I just wanted to read a stat line. That is 16 of 28 for 153 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, 17 carries for 157 yards, no touchdowns. What do you think of that stat line?
I think I know whose it is. I think it's a great stat line. I think it was
a nice stat line, right?
It was done within the offense. The offense was clicking and chugging along. And is that the Eagles quarterback right there?
That is Jalen Hurts against the Green Bay Packers last night. They ended up winning that football game, and he is the quarterback of a team that is best record in the NFL. They have only lost one football game. And I bring that up because 16 of 28 versus Justin Fields' mark against the Dolphins, which was 17 of 28. 153 yards for Hurts, 123 yards only for Justin Fields. Remember, there was that big play down the field that was dropped. Fields had two touchdowns, no interceptions. Hurts had two touchdowns, no interceptions. Fields has had three in that game, no interceptions. The 17 carries for 157 versus the 15 carries for 178. And Fields got in the end zone once on one of those. I'm saying they're very similar football games in terms of what the quarterback brought. Jalen Hurts, and no one needs to necessarily compare Justin Fields against Jalen Hurts. They're different football players. They have different skills. But, you know, they're kind of in the same quadrant of type of quarterback, a guy who can hurt you with his legs, a guy who can hurt you with his arm. Jalen Hurts has A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Devonta Smith as weapons. He has the best offensive line blocking for him in front of him and blocking for his running backs who are also similarly running the football very well like the Bears are this year. You would take any of those three weapons from the Eagles and they would be the best weapon that the Bears would have, right? Like he has a better infrastructure. He also has a better defense on the other side, so he's generally playing with the lead. All I'm saying is that this thing is, you know, the narrative around Hurts last night, when they stopped talking about the two quarterbacks that were wearing green.
Oh my
God,
that was awful. Yeah, that was terrible.
I mean, the slurp fest for those two gentlemen. Generally, you have to do something in the NFL to earn the commentator slurping on you. But
not Jordan Love. Just Jordan has Love, that G on his helmet.
Wow.
Yeah, he's already there.
He completely passes against shell defenses. He's the next coming.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Hurts. Back to Hurts and Fields. The point is, you know, I think that Justin Fields got some love and changed the narrative over that nice hot streak that he went on. And I think that was deservedly so. But he still didn't hear, you know, the resounding positiveness from everyone because they're not winning football games. But the winning part will come when the rest of the team talent improves around him. That at least, I mean, I feel very confident in saying that. If you could put Justin Fields into an offense with that surrounding cast that we watched the Eagles have last night, I would feel pretty confident that his numbers would be as good or even better than what we have seen from him at his highs or Jalen Hurts at his highs. And so I think that that's the confidence that you have to have when you're watching some of these good football teams right now. You're watching the Bills, you're watching the Eagles, and there's two of the best teams in the league, and you say, man, my quarterback can do that. You know, the guy that wears number one for the Bears, he can do that stuff. Just those guys didn't do that in their second year either. Like it took time. And so I think that might be a takeaway through the last month of the year as beginning of the playoffs is just to start to envision what this Bears offense can look like when Ryan Poles is able to put some more talent around Justin Fields, like these other teams with quarterbacks that have similar skill sets.
Yeah, you look around the league and the young quarterbacks that have kind of, when they blossomed, when does that happen? Well, it does some of them just, it happens naturally because you're just that good. And I think Justin Fields has shown in that stretch he had with, we talked about it, no talent around him. And he was probably one of the most electrifying players in the NFL during that stretch. Now imagine him with, like the Bills have, Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, you know, Dawson Knox, more talented receivers, more talented pass catchers, a better offensive line. You talk about the Eagles offense, you know, look around the league, you know, the quarterbacks that are doing it, they need help. You know, you can't do it all by yourself. You know, it's fun that he's carrying the team, but you know, that's not the way to win in the NFL. You got to build it up. And, you know, it's really seemed like the Bears wanted to kind of, I don't know if it was they were giving him a prove it year, but it seems like, because they didn't really do too much to kind of build it up around him. I talked about it in previous shows. You know, we mentioned him today, Dakota Dozier. He was in line to be a starter on this offensive line until he got hurt. That's malpractice, but that's also a GM saying, hey, I want to see if this guy has what it takes. If he does, I'll make him my guy. It seems like he's the guy based on some moves they made in you know, during the season, the Chase Claypool move, that's a move with the future in mind. If you have your quarterback set, you're not making that trade unless you think you have the quarterback. There's just no point in that. So I think they're content going forward with Justin Fields. I think, again, big off season, you know, build up the trenches, get him another weapon or two. And I think we're going to see this team make that leap next season.
I think that's a good place for us to take a quick break. On the other side of it, we will talk and try to find some candidates for everybody's favorite category, the Three Bears. Stick with us.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, Lester, let's talk Three Bears. Hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and just right. Hot bowl of porridge for me this week. I think that it's got to be the contested catches.
Oh, okay.
Because it's out of nowhere. We have not had any real expectation that these receivers can make contested catches. We had Chase Claypool down the sideline getting a contested catch over Sauce Gardner, who is almost certainly going to be Defensive Rookie of the Year and has been one of the best cornerbacks in the league already. Very talented young player, and he looked pretty good against him. And I think that should show what Claypool can bring out of the box, and hopefully he can improve a little bit more down the line. Not the cleanest catch in the world, but wet football conditions, like, you know, that was kind of, you know, all around. There's a little bit of a book on Chase Claypool that, you know, he doesn't have the best hands. So something to keep in mind. He is going to drop some down the line, but that was a good contested catch. And then that Byron Pringle touchdown where, again, I think that was a bad decision by Trevor Siemian, but he was able to wrestle it away for a touchdown. Those two catches just haven't been there. Like, there have been a lot of 50-50 balls or even like 75-25 balls that just get that go the other way or fall incomplete because the Bears wide receivers haven't been able to win those balls. So it was nice to see a little bit of that early, which gave us some hope as Bears fans that early on this game might just be a shocker because they hung around a little longer than I think a lot of people gave them credit for.
Yeah, the buzz on social media during the game was, oh my God, the Bears are going to mess around and win this game. You know, I mean, they were in it. You know, they're right there. And, you know, at this point, you know, the Jets hadn't really done you know, too much explosive on offense. But as the game wore on, of course, the Jets, you know, realized that, oh my God, the Bears defense has nobody. You know, let's just take our time and kind of, you know, chew them up. And that's what they did. And no, that's a good call. I think one thing that, like, the Chase Claypool catch, you know, maybe Justin Fields sees this and he sees, okay, sometimes I have to just chuck it up there and let my guy make a play. With a guy like Claypool, who's you know, 6'4", 6'5", he's got that size, he's got that speed. Sometimes you do that, you know, and that rapport will come with Justin Fields and Chase Claypool as they grow together. Trevor Siemian, I think he just said, what the hell, I'm just going to do this because, you know, what do I have to lose? So he just kind of did it. The same with the throw to Pringle. Like I said, when that throw was made and it happened, and then they showed the replay, I'm like, oh my God, why did he even throw that? That was just, you know, but hey, you know, again, at some point, trust your guy to make a play. And I think, you know, Justin Fields will kind of take a look at that. And I also think Justin Fields may kind of look at some of the stuff he did early with Siemian, and he kind of had some of the checkdowns. He just took them a little quicker. Justin Fields doesn't always want to take the checkdown as quick as we saw it with Trevor Siemian. Part of it is he's looking to go big. Part of it may be the play design. But sometimes, depending on the look the defense gives you, a veteran quarterback knows, okay, this will be there right away, and it should be enough to get some yards. So I think Justin Fields, while I wanted to see him play, I think he's the kind of guy that can learn from watching a veteran quarterback operate the offense.
Yep. I agree. What about you? Hot bowl for you.
I'm glad you left me the layup. So I'm going to go Jack Sanborn, you know, 14 tackles, one tackle for loss. He also had a tackle on special teams. Undrafted free agent out of Wisconsin, Lake Zurich's own. No one expected this. You know, I think I saw a stat earlier today where he is has more solo tackles than Roquan during their time, you know, since he's been on the Ravens, which is just kind of weird to hear. But he's been playing well, you know, and I was kind of listening to people in the game during the game talk about Sanborn, how he's so unathletic. He's just a plugger. He's just and then I looked at his numbers. So I'm like, I remember seeing him a little bit at the pro day and the combine. So I pulled up his RAS. We've talked about quite a bit with Math Bomb. Not elite, but you know, he's in the sevens. You know, he has a couple top numbers here. His 10-yard split is really good. His three cone shuttle, really good. Two things you want to have for a linebacker, especially at the mic there. But it's his instincts, you know, his understanding of his keys, you know, reading what's happening in front of him, his understanding of what's the offense trying to do. It helps him play faster. And it's still too early to know if he's going to be the future Mike for this team. He may end up selling it at the Sam, but I think he's shown enough to where, you know, he is part of the future. You know, if he gets beat out by someone, you know, next year, so be it. But I'm excited, man. Jack Sanborn, man, number 57. You know, he's get the jerseys. You know, it's if he keeps doing this, the popularity is, you know, through the roof. And that's a lunch pail kind of guy right there for the Chicago Bears.
Fan favorite. Right? People are gonna love that. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, 50s Bears jerseys. I mean, can you really go wrong? I mean, those are just great history with that that particular first number. Pick whatever number you want after that. It's been pretty good. So yeah, good stuff there. I do think that was the layup. But on the other side of this cold bowl of porridge, you get beat by three scores, yeah. And what do you want to do? You can do anything that you want with this. I'm just going to point out the Kendall Vildor play. If you're going to hold a guy, if you're going to get called for pass interference or defensive holding, whatever it ended up being, it prevent the guy from doing anything. Like that was a clown level play. Like, I mean, that was bad. He tries to hold Garrett Wilson, and Garrett Wilson breaks away from him, and then he falls down, and then Garrett Wilson is wide open for the first touchdown. I mean, it's a touchdown already. That's bad. It's an interference call, which means that they have like focus and they're going to keep showing the play. And then you fell down when you interfered. Like, I mean, it was like a trifecta. It was maybe one of the worst plays that defensive plays that I've seen in a very long time. Didn't have a strong game overall either. That's a tough draw. And again, you're not getting any pass rush at all. And so, you know, Mike White sitting back there without any issues, and it was just dealing like all quarterbacks have been against the Bears secondary in the last five games. But that was a bad play. Like, I got to give Cole Bowl for that.
Yeah, he had a rough game. I think you hit it though. It's that pass rush. I mean, it's if you're not helping out your secondary at all, you know, you just wait. You wait it out, and you'll find your guy. And I think Fielder's had a nice season. I still think Fielder's his ceiling may be there. I mean, if he's a top reserve, I think that's a better place for the Chicago Bears. But you know, they're counting on him now to be a playmaker in that secondary, and that's not who he is. You know, I mean, for me, I'm going to go front seven, Al Quaddin Muhammad, 50 snaps, which is 79% of the snaps. And I'm sure you know this. He didn't scratch the stat sheet again. This is his third game this season where he had no tackles. You know, it's that old thing, you know, what exactly do you do here? Right.
There was a name for, I'm not a basketball guy, so I apologize and I am going to butcher this, but there was this player who like had logged like 25 minutes or something in a game and had no assists, no points, no rebounds, no fouls, like nothing. It was just like on the court, but like didn't do anything of substance to get on the stat sheet. And so they had like a name for it. That's him, man. Like these are wasted snaps. And we've been calling it out for a few weeks here, probably a little longer, but at some point you have to give the guy a little bit of time to show. But I mean, what are you doing? Like, why give him the snaps? And I know you don't have a lot behind him and you're paying him money and whatever, but at this point, if you're not seeing what we're seeing on film, then I'm not sure what he, I don't know what we're missing. Let's assume that we're missing something that he's doing. But if we're seeing what you're seeing, get somebody else in there, elevate somebody from the practice squad, just see what happens. At this point in the year, his reps are absolutely wasted.
I tried watching him a little bit on my rewatch. Like I said, what are they seeing in him? Is he setting the edge really good? Is he commanding? You know, is he drawing double teams? You know, it's like, what is he doing out there? And nothing really stood out from him. And it's, I liked the signing when they made it. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a nice piece here. He knows the defense. You know, I watched him his film from the Colts. You know, he was an ascending player. He kind of came in out of nowhere. He worked himself up to where he was a really good part of that defense. You know, maybe he's just not that guy. He needs help around him. I mean, it's obvious he can't be a centerpiece, you know, but now it's like he's doing nothing at all. So I just don't really see what's the point of, like you said, giving him these reps when he's doing nothing with him.
Absolutely. Just right, Bull, for me, a couple guys that I considered that I'm not giving it to would be Trenton Gill, who I think had a nice football game, punter, the guillotine. And then Jalen Johnson, I think had a good, pretty good football game in a bad game. But I think he's doing what you want. But for me, it's David Montgomery, man. Came out, played some really good football, 14 carries for 79 yards. That's a 5.6 yard average. Runs the ball hard. He got three catches on four targets for another 34 yards. Made a guy miss. You know, had a nice explosive play there, long of 28 for that passing play. Listen, I understand math. I get it. I get the analytics stuff. I feel like I can live in that world pretty well, better than most football fans. Football is not played on a spreadsheet, and locker rooms are not built on spreadsheets. This guy, if he's, again, it's all comes down to the details, but if he wants to go get paid top dollar, go do it, David Montgomery. It probably is not with the Bears, because I'm not sure that Ryan Poles is that kind of guy. So if you can go get that money somewhere else and you'll be happy, go get paid. Stack the chips in your bank account. But if you want to be part of this team going forward and have an agreement that both sides can feel good about, as I'm not saying like pay him really cheap. I'm saying like a good, solid running back deal that both sides can feel good about. I want him here.
Yeah.
He's a good football player and he does really good things on the field. And he stepped up and he did exactly what I think he would when he doesn't have somebody like Khalil Herbert, who's, challenging him for a lot of the carries. Honestly, I like Darrington Evans. He looked like pretty solid. I don't like that split. I don't like 14 carries for Montgomery and 9 for Evans. I'd like to see more for David Montgomery. I'd like to see him carry more of the load when it's him and somebody like Evans behind him, because you're going to get more out of those reps because he has that opportunity to break a tackle and make a chunk gain.
Yeah, I'm with you there with Montgomery. I looked at over the cap, and they do their contract projections for a few free agencies and one of them was Montgomery. And they have him projected, I think, a little over $9 million a year, which that's probably ballpark for a top running back on the market. But how many running backs get paid that kind of money? Now, look, I like Montgomery's overall skill set, but he's not explosive to the point where he's a threat when he touches the ball. And those are usually the guys that get paid big money. So I can see that annual average a little lower than that. And if that's the case, if it's coming in around 8, how do you let him go? I don't think he'll have a huge market. I think, like you said, if the Bears offer him a fair contract, something both sides can work with, he does bring more to the table than just what he does as a runner. He's a good, you know, pass blocker. He's good on the backfield. They have lined him up in different spots, you know, this season, kind of get him out there and see what he can do. Bring him back, you know, bring him back.
What about you?
You know, I thought about Montgomery, but I'm staying in the backfield. And you just mentioned him, Evans. You know, yeah, he may have got a few more reps than he probably should have, especially given the situation. But, you know, for what he was, this was his most reps of the season, 9 times, 34 yards. He had that nice 33-yard catch. Here's another guy. He's a good athlete. I mean, he's not Khalil Herbert fast, where he's not to the hole that quick. But when he was picked up by the Titans, they thought he was going to be the nice lightning to Derrick Henry's thunder. He's has that kind of athleticism. He's a running back. I was surprised that he did not make the 53. I was shocked with Tressan Ebner out of camp. I just thought Evans gave them a little more, especially what we've seen with Ebner these last few weeks. The Bears have realized this as well. He's now assigned to the active roster. He'll be there probably until Herbert's back, if he comes back. And if Herbert's not healthy and good to go, why would you bring Herbert back? Because he's clearly a part of this team moving forward. You know, why not let just have Evans be the guy behind Montgomery? Let him spell him a little bit. See what we have there. Because, again, we talk about receivers. You have to have a few guys there. You need more than just two backs. I mean, it's good to have a third guy. Evans can play special teams for you. He can cover kicks. He can do that for you as well. Ebner, not sure he's even going to be the guy in the future. So, you know, see what Evans has. You know, he's another cheaper guy. I think he's going to be a restricted free agent, so he's not going to command big money next year. Bring him back, draft the guy. Now you have your four guys to kind of see what you have at the tailback spot next season.
I like it. Giving the just right bulls to the backfield. Got to love it. You know, it was
a lot tough. Of backfield love today. We had the fullback, both
tailbacks. Right? Yeah, everybody got a little bit, you know, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with the guys that tote the ball. And that's kind of what that game was. I mean, it wasn't very pretty. There wasn't a lot to really like on the Bears side of things, but you know, we're trying to sift through the muck and try to find some flecks of gold or, you know, whatever, you know, maybe it's fool's gold sometimes. We're doing our best. We'll end it there for the podcast. Just got to give you guys an idea. There's more football games. We're going to keep doing these.
Packers, you know, Packers week.
This Packers week. Then there's a bye week. I was going to take a break, but I got a message from our friend Jack Silverstein saying, hey, man, what do you think about me coming on and talking a little Hall of Fame with you and Lester and kind of what he's got a project that he's been working on. He's got some insight into Devin Hester's being on the ballot here. A couple of the other lovey defenders who may not be really doing so well in the Hall of Fame balloting. And he's let's come on and maybe spend a little time. He said, you know, bye week might be a good time for that. So if you like a little Hall of Fame talk, I think we're going to do that during the bye week. So that'll happen then. Then we got another 4 weeks after that. We're going to get through this thing. We're going to do it each and every week.
There's going to be a couple more stinkers here because you got Eagles, you got Bills coming up.
Yeah.
Those may be challenging shows, but at least with our show, we're a day later. You know, the emotions are calmed down. So did you happen to catch Robert's post-game show yesterday?
Where he had himself? A Me, Myself, and Irene show.
That was a very, very odd show. It was very interesting. It was like kind of like the Bears show, right? The Bears game. It's like a car wreck. You just got to watch and see what's happening. It was just ridiculous, but fun. I think there's something there though. I mean, he mentioned he's going to try and do something similar like that moving forward. I know there's that Skip Bayless meme that's out there, a video where they made where he went against himself. And that's kind of what his idea is. And I'm like, I see it. I see his vision. Let's just focus him in and get him there because it was a interesting post-game show where he interviewed himself. It was just, I mean, literally he's talking to himself the whole show and he like is good at it. Like, man, I don't know if he does it normally or he really practiced it for this game, but
this is probably something he's been doing for years.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This
interesting.
Now he turns it on and just like, does this work? You know, he's been doing it for years anyway. Right. Otherwise stick around on the site. Again, at some point here, we will start to pivot a little bit and start to look at the off season. You know, football is an all year round sport. The team building aspect is something that we do a lot of work on. And we talk a lot about it and we write a lot of words about it. And that'll all be at the website. So check that out. And then of course, we'll be sticking with you on the podcast and in the YouTube. We'll stick around a little bit to handle the comments on this live stream that we have many. And we will see you podcasters next week. Packers week. Gear up, everybody. Until next time, bear down.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.